You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Guidepost. This is going to be a real quick one. We got me and Will Post in here today. Will is actually physically at the ASMFC meeting in Virginia. I am physically at my desk typing as fast as I can. The Menhaden board just finished meeting, and we want to tell everyone what happened. How are you doing today, Will?
Doing well. Nice steamy day here in Arlington. Definitely a spirited Menhaden discussion. And we got a couple more later today, but for our listeners, I apologize if there's any background noise. Again, I hear
silverware clanking, you know.
Yes. So
you gotta get the cookies. Have they put the cookies out yet?
No, they have not. I will be stockpiling for sure.
Yeah, you can never steal the sandwich, but the cookies are fair game and they're usually pretty good. So just a pro tip for anyone who attends an ASMFC meeting. So okay, Will, I mean, this whole thing started, you know, our extreme interest in this meeting started with that final agenda item that read, I'll read it off. So this agenda item came out and it basically said the last bullet was discuss possible Chesapeake Bay management, L. Fagley possible action. And Lynn Fagley from Maryland. She's been on the Menhaden board a very long time. She is the fisheries director under the new administration, the Moore administration in Maryland. And, you know, like, by and large, Lynn is a thoughtful, smart individual who's, you know, faced multiple administrations in Maryland and, you know, kept her position, which is a miracle in and of itself in a state like Maryland. So, you know, most of y'all will know that we beat the brakes off of Maryland with striped bass management. And over the years, I mean, I go back with Lynn to, you know, the early 2010, 2009s, and she's made some bad decisions on other things, but she's made some good decisions too. And she's a reasonable person that you can talk to. So Lynn put this on the agenda, and, you know, we did our absolute best to find out all the details of this. And basically what it came down to was time and spatial closures for the reduction fishery in the bay.
And a lot of it, Tony, you know, from our digging and even just looking at the rest of the agenda was kind of coming to a head because of some USGS, U.S. Geological Service data on osprey productivity and reproductive success in much of the Chesapeake Bay. So that was kind of the catalyst for Maryland and Lynn for bringing forward such a motion, which we will dive in here shortly.
Yeah, and basically, Will, we're going to put a blog out, and I have those screenshots and those charts up, and essentially, you know, I'm going to say that like a vast proportion of the east side of the bay, a lot of the sites are experiencing a considerable drop in osprey chick success from 2012 to 2022. Now, there are a ton of stressors that can affect osprey reproduction, everything from obviously limited food, depredation, disease, inexperienced, you know, younger ospreys that are inexperienced breeders, environmental contaminants, water depth and clarity, weather events. It's not just, there's not a direct line. that there are not enough men Hayden, so Osprey, you're dying. And to put a fine point on that, in the Upper Bay, catfish represent 52% of an Osprey's diet, gizzard shatter 28%, Poplar Island, which is kind of Central Bay, striped bass are 48%, Atlantic menhaden are 44% of Osprey diet. And then in the Lower Bay, you know, speckled trout and Atlantic menhaden bring up, you know, a little over 50%, Atlantic croaker 12%. Don't ask me how Ospreys are catching catfish, you know, in the Susquehanna. Like, they represent 77% of their diet in the Susquehanna. But I don't know how, but they are.
And all the power to them, right?
Yeah, God bless them, man. Like, they, you know, that could be a tool to get rid of these damn catfish. So getting right into Lynn's motion, the motion stated, move to initiate it. So, you know, there's a concern with Osprey. A Maryland commercial waterman named Russell Dyes sits on the Menhaden Management Board. And I will tell you that things have to be pretty bad for Maryland Menhaden fishermen to kind of call out Omega and look for some relief. And as Lynn presented this motion, the motion that Russell wanted, who spent a lot of time on Menhaden boats, pogie boats all over, his brother ran a pogie boat, he was very well spoken, and his want, you know, his motion that he wanted was a 2-year ban on reduction fishing in the Chesapeake. I guess they felt that couldn't go through. So Lynn's motion was move to initiate an addendum to the Atlantic Menhaden Interstate Fisheries Management Plan to consider Chesapeake Bay specific management options for Menhaden purse seine vessels larger than 300 gross tons in order to support the need for piscivorous birds and fish during critical points in their life cycles, Osprey, fledge, molt. The document should include options for seasonal closures of the Chesapeake Bay waters. The document should not consider changes to the bay cap. The document should also contain options to reevaluate seasonal closures within the bay after 2, 3, or 4 years. The plan development team should consult with outside experts as necessary to identify spatial temporal patterns of predatory demand for menhaden. So that was a motion by Ms. Fagley. Ms. Fagley, and a second by Mr. LaFrance. There was much discussion. There were people for, there were people against. Ultimately, Lynn's motion was challenged and moved to October, challenged to move this to table this till October, and then challenged again to just postpone indefinitely. And that postponement and table motions both failed to get the necessary votes. And then out of the morass.
Well, here, Tony, before yes. We dive into the successful motion, you know, I think it's worth noting, you know, there was a lot of discussion on the original motion, right? A lot in favor. And most of the states and board members who were in favor, you know, a lot of people have been longing to do something in the Bay, whether it's precautionary, proactive, or exploring new scientific avenues, et cetera. There has been a strong interest in doing something in the Bay. So I think that's where a lot of the initial support came from. But then we also saw some opposition. And, you know, there was some opposition, I think, from, you know, more industry focused people to wait until the stock assessments come out in next fall in 2025. And then there was some opposition also just because of how tailored and specific and prescriptive this motion, this tasking motion was, where, you know, maybe we wouldn't be accomplishing all that we want due to the wording of this motion. So I say that to just, you know, open the gates for, you know, what comes next.
Yes. So, okay. So here we are. you know, you, and these votes did not fail. These votes failed by the slimmest of margin. So like 9-9, right, to table this thing. So, you know, that kind of showed a lack of overwhelming support for the original motion. Okay. And then Ms. Colden came in, who's a ASMFC commissioner from Maryland and from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. And really, I mean, she really spoke well, and she brought up some very good points. This is a simple motion, and her defense of the motion, I think, was excellent. Or rather, you know, her support, rather, because she was the maker of the motion. So it was moved to substitute to establish a board work group to consider and evaluate options for further precautionary management of the Chesapeake Bay menhaden fisheries to be protective of birds and fish during critical points in their life cycle. So she basically stated that there's a lot that we don't know, and that ERPs, our current management structure, is not going to address the possibility of bay depletion anytime soon. And as the bay is changing, so are the predator demands. And she brought up that concentrated harvest is a serious concern, and predator needs are going to increase. You know, we hope there's more ospreys. We hope there's more stripers. You know, we hope there's weakfish make a comeback. We hope everything makes a comeback. And as we rebuild all of these things, predatory needs are going to expand. And Ms. Colden's point was that currently ERPs are not capable of addressing those specific demands for this specific region. So I think she laid out the issue very well. And I also feel like, you know, for people who aren't, you know, don't do this day to day, yes, a work group sounds like they're kicking the can down the road, but I am a cup is half empty kind of guy, and I don't feel that way. I don't know, Will. What?
Yeah, Tony, I definitely, I've been labeled probably as more of a cup half full type of guy, so I'm definitely optimistic. Definitely optimistic on this. And I think, you know, for something as that has been historically as controversial as menhaden management and menhaden politics within the Chesapeake Bay, I think, you know, going from a bottom up approach and getting the process right and getting a work group and, you know, seeing what management tools and levers we might, you know, have available to do something, you know, like Ms. Colden said, precautionary, to benefit, you know, all of these birds and fisheries that do rely on menhaden, I think it's the rational and effective and frankly winning approach to get something done in the bay.
Now, Will, like I think you know, I think we've hit on all the high points. The Guides Association is now going to be fully engaged in this issue, and you know, menhaden advocacy has been really tough for the last couple of years. It's been incredibly difficult. And part of that lies on the responsibility of the advocates, right? You can't just say anything that you want that's not based on science. When you do that, it takes away from the ability to be supportive of the managers who are looking for science to give them the political backing to do the right thing. So moving forward with this work group, we are going to rely heavily on what we know, and our risk policy is going to be very low, and we're going to ask for precautionary management based on the science that we have. And, you know, every time that something happens, everything in the world is not omega protein's fault. Some of it is our fault as recreational fishermen. So we're gonna go about this in a very pragmatic way. We're going to be very measured. And the big takeaway with all of this, for all the people who care about Menhaden and want something to happen, ASMFC did not just kick the can down the road. ASMFC just passed a motion that puts the framework in for real change to take place.
And unanimously at that, I don't think we mentioned.
Well, I think Rhode Island was the null vote, right?
That was on the motion to substitute, but then on the final main motion,
I believe it
passed without opposition. So yeah, you know, everyone's on board.
Yeah. And I get it. I get the frustration, but there has been massive inertia on this issue that is very real for years. And as of 20 minutes ago or 30 minutes ago, we have a path forward. And now we just have to do the right thing and be respectful and work with the work group, support their findings, and support the one thing that we constantly advocate for. And that's when, if you don't know all the details, you aren't sure about every facet of the science, be cautious. Err on the side of conservation. Stop pushing it to the edge. So that's it. We wanted everyone to understand what happened. This is not like some massive victory and we're running around and cheering. This is a path. This is a pinhole of light in a sea of darkness that we have to navigate and be a part of from start to finish. And hopefully, you know, today is the day that there's a brighter future for Menhaden in the Chesapeake Bay. Hopefully today's the day that it started. But like, yeah, I feel like Jim Carrey in that movie. So you're saying I got a shot. You know what I mean? Maybe one in a million. But like, I think they're saying that I got a shot, right? We got a shot here. Let's do it right. We've been hoping for this for a very long time. We have a path forward. Let's do it right. Let's make a change. Let's get everyone together on the same page. And let's help the Chesapeake Bay for generations to come. That's all she wrote.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Will, go see if you can steal a cookie before striped bass starts. You're going to need the sugar.
You're telling me.
God knows. You think they wore themselves out on Menhaden and they're not going to be as jumpy on stripers? Or am I just so hopeful now that you're not even recognizing who you're talking to? Do I have too much hope, or do you think it's just going to turn into a complete...
Tony is just radiating sunshine right now, everyone. you can't see the t-shirt he's wearing on the podcast, but yeah, the striped bass, I'm sure will be another lively discussion. Depending on how it goes, you guys will likely be hearing from us again.
Oh, good Lord. Two podcasts in a day, Will. I don't know if I can do it. But we'll see. We'll see if it's not monumental, we won't bother you again. And if it is, I guess you're going to hear from us real quick. So thanks, everyone. We don't want this to be too long. We just wanted it to be informational. We're not turning into sissies in our old age. This wasn't some massive victory, but it's something that we can all work on, and that we didn't have that before. So good news. Good news for Menhaden and the Chesapeake. Thank you all for listening in, and we'll see you on here real soon. Thank you, Will, for hopping in. I know it looks like you're in a closet in a hotel somewhere. Yeah, there you are. I see you. Will actually might be in the bathroom.
I'm not hiding that much, everyone. See you guys.
All right. Bye.